Amen. I'm ecstatic about who God is. This last 3 weeks have been kind of rough weeks, and I felt like it was leading up to the present time. I lost someone very precious in my life, and yet Jesus Christ accepted someone very precious in his. And so we had an even exchange. My loss, his gain. And if I wanted him to come back, he wouldn't. So I am very grateful to the Lord for his extended grace in my life and what he's going to do. Father, we just thank you for today. I thank you, Lord, for being with us. I thank you for speaking to us, and I thank you for who you are. And Lord, I thank you for the grace that you give us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk today on something that's just a little bit different because we are preparing for ministry. We are preparing to go to Belgium. And I was asked to give just a brief statement on what happened to Ireland. We are no longer going to Ireland because we were not given through the organization we were working with all the prices up front. And by the time we were given the prices up front, they were a bit higher than what we could raise. So we then moved the trip to Belgium. We felt like God opened the door so miraculously through the Assemblies of God that we were able to go to Belgium for a lot less. And God has made a way for us, and he has given us a place to dwell, and he's just worked in so many wonderful places and ways. I want to talk to you a little bit about what is relational missions. Here at our Father's house, we are not just talking about missions, because missions often means that you go somewhere, you do something, you walk away, and you never go back. So it's traveling from place to place, as I did when I was a kid. And when I was a young teenager, I traveled with what was known as Speed the Light. And every summer, I was in a different place. When I became older, I went back to those places because I built short-term relationship. I kept in touch with them. I went back to those places as an adult and began to build long-term relationships. And so what we're looking at is a ministry that is committed to building relationship and partnering with people who are hurting in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our cities, in our states, and globally. It is empowering them both biblically, physically, and emotionally as we work together for change in their economic system, in their religious system, in their social system, and in their political system. As the work is going on in Cuba, and each time Pastor goes, a brand new thing is happening because they're in relational missions. Another definition that may seem a little more simple and right down to earth is you and I taking Jesus and our skills into neighborhoods, into villages, into communities, into cities, into states, and ministering with other individuals, but first observing their relationship with Jesus Christ, also learning what they are learning, teaching what they are teaching, and finding out exactly what they are doing. Do you know that when I walk into a particular ministry, I can't go in and tell them what to do if I don't know what they're doing? I have to go in and see what they are doing. What is the vision of this ministry? What are you doing? How are you trying to get from here to here? I have to know all of those things. So what I do is I go in and work alongside them. I don't go in with instructions. I go in and work alongside them. Recently, we had the opportunity to go into a local ministry, and we didn't go in. Myself and Keisha and Brother Han went, and we didn't go in telling them what we were going to do. We went in finding out what they wanted us to do. And while we were there, we found out other things, future things that we can do. That's called relational ministry, because when we walk in and we do first what they're doing, then we can take our tools, our instructions, and help them to go further. I'm often thinking about when I was in Guyana, how we planted a garden. Now, they had all the tools in planting the garden. They had all the instructions. The only problem is they didn't have the irrigation system set up so that they could water later. And the team I was with, they knew how to set up the irrigation system. And so they went to work with the locals in setting up the irrigation system so that not only would they have seeds in the ground, but those seeds would grow. Because without the irrigation, without the water, the seeds will not grow. I often think using that, of the proverb that says, give a man a fish and you'll feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and you'll feed him for a lifetime. What is the goal of missions? The goal of relational missions is to feed a person for a lifetime, to walk out and leave them where they can sustain what was brought in. It's not to go in and wow them. It's not to go in and just feed them. Growing up in the city, I'll never forget that there was this tremendous Sunday school era that came through. And they would bus us all into this church. And when they bus us there, they'd feed us. And they would give us breakfast, and then afterwards they would give us lunch. But many of those children went home and didn't have dinner. And I often thought about, there was not just 50 of us coming in. There was hundreds of us coming in, because they sent out huge school buses and even had a couple of charter buses that the church had bought. And they came out to get us. But many of those children, Monday through Friday, were hungry. And even Saturday and on Sunday, they were fed. And even being young, in my mind was, I wonder what could be done that Monday through Saturday we are fed. I wonder how there could be food Monday through Saturday. And I just kept thinking about it and thinking about it. But I was a child, so I didn't have an answer. But later, another ministry moved into the area, and what they decided to run was a soup kitchen for children. And they ran that kitchen that when the children came out of school, they could come by there and get food, eat, and then go home. And I thought, that's the answer. That was the answer. Now, it took some years in between that ministry moving in on top of the other ministry. And I thought, why did it take so long? Because as they told us, they were studying the need. They were finding out, what is the true need? What is the purpose of this ministry? As people come into this ministry, they are trying to find out, what is the purpose? What is the need? In reading the book, When Helping Hurts, we learned that North Americans see poverty only as a lack of something. When we think of the word poverty, we think of a lack of health care, a lack of housing, or more. And so what do we want to do? We want to reach in our pockets, or we want to go buy something, and we want to give. But how does that sustain them after we're gone? What does that do after we're gone? Now, I'm not saying that that's not a blessing. That is a huge blessing. But when you walk out, when the ministry leaves the area, What do they do to sustain? What was interesting about that study is it says, however, poor people all around the world, when they are asked what is poverty, they answer it different. In the book, it says that it's psychological and social. They answered with a psychological and social term. They said that they feel inferior. Poverty is emotional, they said. It's degrading. It's a loss of respect. Your voice means nothing. It's a loss of feeling important. And it's a loss of dignity. We were over at the missions, and I took my son a while back, and there was a gentleman that came and sat down, and he was talking with my son. And he was telling my son that he used to play for the Redskins. And my son was sitting there, and he was listening, but in his heart, he told me later that he kept saying, "How is this possible? How is it possible that he played for the Redskins and he's here? And now he is homeless." So when I got home and my son and I began to talk, I began to explain to my son that there are people with doctorate degrees that are in homeless shelters. Poverty doesn't have a degree. Poverty doesn't have a certain money level where you used to make. All it takes is just a few things to line up all at the same time. And then that person is in need and want. So he said, "Mom, how does he get out?" And we were sitting there, and I said, "Son, I'm not sure, but let's pray that God shows him a way out, that through ministries coming in like us, that God provides a way of escape for him." That changed the way my son looked at poverty. Because you see, he goes home with me, and across the street, when we go to visit my family, he can see dilapidated buildings. He can see people coming out with no shoes. He can see children that are hungry. But not once did he picture someone that had come from money, making big time money, needing help. Because his dream is that he's going to play professional basketball or football or whatever. He's going to make lots of money. And he says that, "I'm going to buy you a house, Mom, down the street from me." I said, "That'll change." But down the street from me. Okay, just like he wanted me to go to college with him. That's changing. He said, "Mom, you go to college with me. I go to college, you go with me." He said, "You move across the street. I'll come home every night." Now he says, "Mom, you can move in the same state, but why don't you move like 4 hours away? And then I can come visit you." I'm moving further away as he gets older. Oftentimes, that's how missions is. Relational missions. We move further away. If we are effective in winning the lost to Jesus Christ, we must understand their pain, become relational through listening, identifying the need, empowering through many tools, the tools God has given each of us, empowering through resources. And we have to show that they are not the other people, but they are our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's funny that in this church, we can all call each other brothers and sisters because we believe it, because we all walk together. But then when we talk about someone in another country, the first thing we say is those people. Those people are us people. They're brothers and sisters in Christ. And just like you care about me, we need to care about them. They're not foreigners. They're right here in the body of Jesus Christ. Now, something else is going to take. And I want to detour for just a second because we did a youth study the last several weeks I was in there in the youth meeting. And we did a little bit of a study about electronics. And we talked just a little bit about the blessing that they are and how it's such a blessing to live with them because we can get in touch with people all around the world. But we also talked about something else. Hunter, you want to tell them? Stand up. Yeah, just give a couple. So, and social media, he did an excellent job. Give him a hand clap. And you should give him two hand claps because he did an excellent job at a play in which he is the star. And, of course, I'm partial. I want to say that we talked about what happens. Many of you don't realize it, but you are in total control with social media. Total control. If I send you a message and you don't like it, you don't read it. And I will never know. You can decide to take me off your list and I can never get in contact with you anymore. You can decide that you don't like what I say and you can send me a bad message and not be accountable for it. You can pass it on to your friends, make comments about me, and I will never know until one of your friends tell it, and they always do. So the reality is we are losing face-to-face communication. And we're awkward in face-to-face communication. Because you see, we've gotten so addicted to speaking like this that when it's time to come face-to-face, we are losing the ability to feel the heart of someone that's hurting. It is amazing to me that people can walk away from people and say, I didn't know she was hungry. I didn't know she didn't have a place to stay. When's the last time you asked? When is the last time you stood still long enough to find out if your sister or brother had a need? God plants people, and I'm so grateful that he plants people that are willing to see a need versus willing to write about a need. So relational ministry, relational missions, means that you're going to put away all of the electronics for just a season to talk to me face to face, to find out who I am, where I'm going, what I'm like, to find out the need in my community, to find out how do you meet the need without fumbling the ball. Relational ministry. If the family of God must be intentional in reaching the lost to Jesus Christ. The old debate, I love this because I grew up with this old debate. Who is responsible for reaching the lost? Not me. Oh, I don't go. I'll send my money, but I'm not supposed to go. Now, before you throw your eggs, just give me a couple of more pages, and I'll be out of here, and then you can throw them up here, and we'll tell Pastor you did it. So, here's the deal. Who is supposed to go? All of you. Everyone. Nobody is exempted. Maybe not on the foreign field, but everybody has a relational missions responsibility to talk to people on the highway, byway, hedges, and compel the people to come. Everybody has a responsibility. There is no one without that responsibility. You're on a job, tell people about Jesus. You go to the grocery store, tell people about Jesus. You are in the school, tell people about Jesus. You have neighbors, tell them about Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Tell them everywhere you go. You are responsible. It's not somebody else's job. And somebody else is so exhausted because they have so many jobs. And it's not getting done because nobody's sure who somebody else is. I watched for years. I watched in every aspect of life, and everybody kept saying, somebody else is going to do it. And whenever I was pushing the pail around or opening the door or doing something else, I found out that someone else doesn't like their job. I tell my son when the house is a mess, I said, son, if you were waiting on Hazel, she hates this job. She quit. She told me she is not coming. So we must clean up. And you must clean up your room because Hazel's not doing it. She quit a long time ago. She hung a sign on our door that says, not coming back. So get to work. Hazel left. Now it's your job, relational ministry. Relational ministry in missions. It's your job. God is not going to send someone else because you feel awkward. He wants you to open up your mouth and he wants you to do it. Now, he's not going to let that man or woman or child miss the gospel. Someone else will come along, but I will tell you this. He put that person in your path for you to sow a seed. For that seed to come from your mouth. I'm challenging you to set a goal for relational ministry. You say, do we have an example of a relational ministry? Yes, Jesus Christ. Jesus was relational. Jesus called 12 men to follow him. During the course of 3 years, he invested his entire life in them and in the hearts of them, knowing that one day they would be asked to take on Jesus' mission for restoring the world to the Father. He kept them close to him, included them in public ministry. He solicited their help in his program ministries, the opportunity he gave them to immediately access the Lord in full view of what he was doing. During this period, he also gave them his love, his heart. It was personal investment, relational investment that Jesus Christ gave those men. And then he created the loyalty that would motivate each of his apostles to take up their mantle and suffer and die for him. Jesus ate with tax collectors, fed the poor with both natural and spiritual food. He went on his way to meet and bring change to a promiscuous woman. He healed the sick, gave wisdom to men that assumed they knew the truth. He taught others that were how to cast their nets and catch fish. Jesus was and still is relational. And what are we? We're Christians. And what does that mean? We are to be Christ-like. We are imitators of our Father. And we are to follow in his footsteps. Most Christians know the Great Commission. Matthew 28:16-20. Then the 11 went away into Galilee to the mountains which Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Romans 10:13-14 says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Where are you? Are you missing in action? No, they said preacher. No. That preacher does not mean a man title of pastor. It means each of you that walk along every day, that have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it means you. Acts 13:47 says, "For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth." We are light, and wherever we go, we illuminate the building. I used to always think when I was a teenager, I received a call to preach the gospel early in my life, like Hunter, and I remember just going places and thinking at 20, by the time I got to be 20, I'm going to be incognito. I'm just going to hang out. Okay, so I went to churches, and the next thing I know, they say, "We have nobody to pray." Young lady, right there, you, come up and pray. And I'd be like, "What? Who?" And they would call me anyway, and I would come up to pray. And then they would say, "Stand right here. We're going to use you again in a few minutes." And I was like, I didn't come for all of this. But Jesus Christ sent me there because he had something for me to do. They're looking for a light. You are the fluorescent light that walked in the building today. And wherever Jesus sends you, he sends the light. Walmart, any other type of place, a restaurant, your family is going to stand out. During storms, your family is going to stand out. When there is problems in the neighborhood, your family is going to stand out. Matthew 9:36-37, and I'm almost at the conclusion. "But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them." Is Jesus relational? "But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is truly plentiful.'" Do you understand that? Who's going to bring in this last day harvest? Jesus Christ is looking to you and looking to me to bring in this harvest. There are a lot of people all around us that are dying and don't know what to do. He said, "The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few." Where are you in all of this? Will you and I answer the call? This Palm Sunday, will you be as Jesus? Will you be relational? The mission of the church: we are to live, we are to see lives saved and restored through the gospel. Brother Brandon, come. We are all called to help emotionally, physically broken lives. We are all called to be salt and light in our communities and all around the world. We are called to teach and train others so that the missions of the gospel can be furthered. We are all called to be his hands, his feet, his mouthpiece to a generation that's dying. I want to leave something with you. I want to leave a charge today. Will you serve? Will you serve? Will you serve? I want to leave today. Will you love? Will you love? Today, I want you to answer that. Will I be the one to love someone? Today, I want you to answer, am I willing to be his hands? Am I willing to be his feet? Am I willing to meet the need by walking alongside someone and helping them change their lives? Last question. Am I willing to be relational? You're going to make a sacrifice. It's going to cost you something. It's going to take your time. We are coming up to a big summer. Not just because we're going to Belgium, but summer is a time when many lives are lost. They're lost because kids, teenagers, don't know what to do. Adults don't know what to do, so they engage themselves in activities that cost their lives. I'm asking you, will you be relational? Everyone stand. This is a call that we are committing to Jesus Christ, not to Robin, but you're saying, God, I really, really, really want to do this thing. And some of you feel, but I'm not really a talker. Then send a card. Go to someone and send a card. And then that'll be an easy way to start talking to them. Grab a Pepsi. Take it to someone's house and sit with them. Be willing to be relational. The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers, they are few. Who will go? Who will go? Heavenly Father, we thank you. I just pray today, Father, that you would minister to each of us. Father, as we lay here and we're open, Father, and we're thinking about our neighbors, thinking about our children, thinking, Lord, about people that we've seen in the past and know in the past, people, Lord, that we Facebook but have not called, people, Lord, that we know are on the wrong path, that if we don't get a chance to talk to them, Father, they may die on that path. I pray today, Father, that we will be your hands extended. We will be your mouth. Lord, that we will be your feet. We will be there, Lord, to follow and to do what you are calling us to do. Oh, God, not another person, Father, that we could have ministered to. Lord, when we leave these doors today, may we follow you. May we hear your plan. What good is it, Father, to have so many gifts and not listen? When you are saying, go here, go there, do this, do that. You said, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they shall not follow. Father, may we listen and hear. If you are in this building today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to extend an invitation to you. I would like to invite you to know Jesus. Those of you that are ministering, come forward. And I'm asking those that need to know Jesus as a personal Savior, would you come forward? If you have some things going on in your life and you need prayer, I'm giving you this opportunity to come forward. Maybe you need a healing. Maybe you have someone that needs healing. Maybe you have a child, or maybe you have a relative that needs Jesus and you've been talking to them, but it seems a little far away. They seem like they're not accepting. Come down so that others can pray with you, that Jesus Christ tells you exactly what to do and how to do it. God bless you. Thank you. You may leave quietly.